redirect. I just change her direction. And it's almost like a dance. It's almost like a dance from here, sitting down, puts her to the ground. Much like a dance, much like a dance. And this time she's going to lead. Next one, we mix up several different things. You'll see several different styles. I'll explain it after. The kick hits the same time my body hits the ground. That maximizes my power. Next, simply, ever had someone come up, walk up behind you and just push your knees forward? That's all I do with her here. I put the other foot in to guarantee that she goes down. We'll do that one a little bit faster. You notice we practice this on mats, thin mats right now, but higher ranks so also start practicing on the wooden floors. I'm going to demonstrate a few rolls, drops over here, so that we don't just, you can do it on the hardwood floor. Asuka's actually only started learning this new, so I'm gonna be the one that demonstrates this. That goes a little fast. The key to falling is technique. That's what a lot of this is. Not everything takes a lot of strength, but it does take some technique. Don't try this at home.
We do have different kinds in martial arts. What I have been training with is called Shotokan. What he has been training is in Kanu, which is a Vietnamese martial art. It seems like they combine different styles, such as like we demonstrated Judo, Aikido, different kinds of martial arts. And now he's going to be doing a form with the weapon. Are you going to be using a weapon? No. Okay, with the weapon. Shotokan, we do not really focus on fancy moves, whereas they use weapons and some other fancy techniques. So you might be able to see some differences.
You'll notice I'm not going to be quite as rigid in my forms as she is. I'm a little more flexible.
Now maybe we can explain a little bit about kata and sparring. There are two kinds in martial arts. As he mentioned, kata are the forms he just did, and I did one of the katas in Shotokan. Whereas sparring is a fighting. Maybe they train sparring different from how we spar. So I'd like to focus on how we spar, which is Japanese traditional sparring. So it's not like boxing, like you can imagine. Right, it's more like touch. It's supposed to be light contact. He would like to do one more form, which is called Bo Tu from his style. It's a Vietnamese style. This is going to be the last form for this performance.
I'm the one explaining the origins of karate. I'm the one explaining the origins of karate. Okay. In Asia, it was often illegal for the peasants to have weapons, to have any kind of weapons. It was only for the warriors that were allowed to have weapons. So karate, also called empty hand, was developed as a way for the peasants to defend themselves. It was often illegal to practice up until actually fairly recently. But a lot of the different techniques, depends on the styles, but some techniques come from mixtures of styles, whether it be from Tai Chi or from Kung Fu or Karate, have different styles. The Kung Fus are more of a kind of mimic the animals, whereas Karate is more, it's more of a straightforward, I'm not sure how to get into, without getting into too much detail, but it was often passed along from father to son, and it was kept in families, and you want to help me out here? Because different styles actually originated in different ways, and so it's kind of hard to explain. The Aikido and the Judo actually came from the warrior classes, fighting techniques from the battlefield, whereas the karate itself came from the peasant class as a means of self-defense. Are there any questions? As compared to Taekwondo? Taekwondo is actually, it's similar in some respects, but Taekwondo tends to have more fancy footwork, whereas karate concentrates more on the hands. And you'll notice, like, especially with her stances, are much lower because she's emphasizing the hands, and that's where your power is going to come from. Taekwondo has higher stances to make it easier to kick high. And those are some of the basics of the differences. Taekwondo is from Korea. It's actually from Korea. Any other questions? Okay.
Well, let's give a hand to the FSU Japanese Students Association. They come out every year and help us out here at the festival out of the goodness of their heart and work in the children's area and do other demonstrations for us, and they're just wonderful. So thank you. Right now we're gonna clear this area and reset the stage for a surf band from 4 to 5 o'clock. That's sort of the culmination of our sports and games theme with the folks.
Part of the reason I was attracted to this in the first place is because I still surf after 30 or so years, and there's something about this kind of music that just gets under your skin. It brings back the first time you ever saw a strobe light and your first string bikini, lava lamps, that kind of thing. But it also, like I said earlier, it harkens to a particular period in American music before the English invasion, which I fully embrace the Beatles and the Birds and the Yardbirds and all them guys. But this was what was happening before they got here. And largely twangy guitar and instrumental stuff was real pervasive in society, even to the point where all the TV show themes were twangy, all the movie themes were twangy, everything like that. So we're gonna just let the music stand on its own. Here we go. This first tune is the Ventures are known as one of the primary surf bands. This tune is not the one they're known for. They're known for a couple other tunes. We'll get to them in a little bit, but this one's kind of a neat one. It's called The Lullaby of the Leaves. Thank you. lot. That's Lullaby of the Leaves. This next tune was by a band called the Shantays. They didn't have that many well-known hits, but if you were a surfer, there was a place that everybody in the world wishes they could just move to, and luckily all six people that there's room for them to live there are already living there, but it's called the Banzai Pipeline. It was only probably really ridden in the mid-60s. It was such a gnarly wave. That's what they used to call it back in my day, was a gnarly wave. I hear that term still appropriate, but yeah, pow. Yeah. PA's still working. Everybody's okay. Yeah. Anyhow, this is called Pipeline by the Shantays. Thank you. Pipeline, that's called. Yeah, the reverb's never been on 10 on that amp. The volume's been up there a couple of times before, but the reason that the surf band sort of happened was that people started making movies about surfing, and at the same time, there wasn't enough surfing movies to keep these surf bands afloat, so at some point, the Ventures started playing movie themes and stuff like that. This is one of their more famous ones. I believe it was a John Wayne movie, Fort Apache, possibly, but the name of this tune is Apache. Thank you. scratchy. Well, there comes a point in every drummer's life when they get asked to play Wipeout. Yeah. And we better get him now before he gets too hot, I think. But I'd like to introduce Jimmy Millsap on the drums, too, by the way. Yeah. Surf music is largely about the two drum beats that are available to you as a drummer, and Jimmy does them both pretty darn well. And then he does the fast and the slow version of said drum beats pretty darn well. But those of you who have played it on your school desk all your life, now's your chance to hit the big time. So here it comes. One more time. No. Yay. Yeah. And now the moment that every guitar player is sort of the Wipeout of the guitar world. There's a fellow named Dick Dale who was sort of the godfather of all this stuff. Yay. Yeah, Dick Dale. He's still got his ponytail, as a matter of fact. So this is one of his tunes. As we pointed out earlier in the little talk we gave, Dick Dale was of Lebanese descent. And for that reason, his right-hand approach to guitar was not limited in the normal Mel Bay way, so to speak. He played it like he would have played a mandolin with a lot of vibrato on the right hand. So, and as we also said earlier, anytime you were watching a surf movie in the early days, they'd show the local footage, the little stuff head high and all the local guys getting off. And then when they finally showed the big steamy outside foggy stuff, you know, the big waves, they would play this song. It's called Miserloo. That's called Miserloo. Yeah, where is that breeze? Okay, this is the audience participation part of the show. This is where I play a TV show theme, and if you want me to stop playing it, you got to name it. That's as simple as that. I'll only play it until somebody can name it. So that's a good one, yeah. Yeah. Now, you got this backwards. You don't name them. I play them and then you name them, see? Yeah, that's how that works. That's it, that's it. What? Thank you. Okay, that's an easy one. All right, you guys are too easy. I got to give you a harder one. Okay. You know my tricks already, don't you? Okay. Here's a hard one for you. That's it, yeah. Just the whole point of this exercise is to demonstrate how pervasive that twangy guitar thing was at that moment in our history. And it affected everything. It affected cars. It affected guitars in a large way. Up to that time, guitars didn't look like rocket ships like they did after Dick Dale came around. You couldn't get a color from a car on your guitar until Dick Dale came around. So what happened then was they took car colors and painted them on guitars. That was the first time that happened. Cool idea, I think. Yeah. And he's got the matching underwear. We'll show you that to you later if you want to see that. Okay. One more TV show theme. Here you go. There's a man who leads a life of danger. Somebody, yeah, who knows that? Everyone he meets, he stands a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. I can hear him singing the chorus out there. I love it. Okay, back to some serious surf music. Okay, I'm glad y'all came. That's all five of the songs that were popular. We really appreciate you coming out. And say again. Well, yeah, we just did. We did. Oh, will you come sing it? Be careful what you ask for. You might get it. Give her a big hand, folks. Come on. Okay, you'll get your chance. There's always another festival. So the Ventures, again, were one of the instrumental groups, big pun there, in making surf music accessible to the masses. This was probably their best known hit.
You guys know which one that is, right?
The one that sounds like the other one.
Yes, the one that sounds just like the other one. Walk on run. One, two, three, four. called Walk, Don't Run. Well, as usual, we've been asked to turn down. What do y'all think? Yeah. I don't want to interfere with anybody else's music. We'll try and play a quiet, loud one for you now. So. We did that one, but we could do it again. Yeah. If we run out, no, we're not going to do any singing stuff. And the reason for that is the original surf music. It was like, we'll do a song here in a minute that everybody can help us sing. It's got one word, and I hope you can all remember it, tequila. So, yeah. Those of you who know what that word's about probably can't remember it. So, but, okay, one more TV show theme. See if you guys can get this one. Nobody? Nope, close. Magnum P.I. Y'all all owe me a beer now, see? Yep, I had to remember this one. It's funny because all these surf tunes, you never knew the names of them hardly. You just know what they sound like. This was, this is my son Jackson DeWitt over here playing the rhythm guitar. Yeah. I was telling him, this is the Windham Hill of the 60s. He didn't want to hear that. Let me tell you that right now. that just kind of tells you what the state of the nation was, too. Television had just come in, if you can imagine such a thing as that. This music is back from that time. They started naming things after television. They named guitars called Telecasters after television. They figured it was going to be popular, and they named satellites after it. And songs and all kinds of stuff. Bob's going to play one with us, I hope. We're going to play some original real surf music for you, some Hawaiian stuff. Mr. Bob Stone is going to play some steel for us. Give him a hand. Tell you that right now. We only got a few more minutes left. I want to quickly introduce everybody. You've met Jackson DeWitt on rhythm guitar. Give him a hand, please. Yeah. On congas, Mr. Dino Campbell, one of my oldest surfing buddies. Yeah. On bass, Mr. Kevin Wilson. Mighty fine. On drums is Jimmy Millsap. And I'm Tex Kaluhi Okalani, the Hawaiian cowboy. There's a guy named Mike Campbell who's from around here who played in a band you may have heard of, the Heartbreakers. He's got a new surf record out called the Blue Stingrays. Go buy it. Spend your money somewhere good. And we're going to do a tune or two off as much time as we got. We're going to tune or two off of that. It's called the Stingray Stomp. We drank some and we forgot it. You guys can shout out tequila in the middle of this one if you want. Yeah. Yeah. There's a wedding going on over there at 5 o'clock, and they probably want to hear whatever vows they're taking, would be my guess. I mean, it's a nice way to what I said, I promised what? Wake up in the morning. Yeah, that's right. I got a tape of it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We're the Green Room. See you in the surf.
How about these guys? Were they great or what?